Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 21st of March 2018. It is my 359th Word for Word show. So, been at it a while. That doesn't include the repeats from the past either. Let's get my website out here, and then we'll get right into the book of Jasher. It's https, as in sugar, / www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, hyphen, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. It's not an interactive site. There's no comments or chat room. It is a download and listening site only. So if you want a lot of information, it's there. There's items for sale. There are links to two Seedline CI sites. And a good time will be had by all, I guess. So let's get into Sefer HaYashar, the Book of the Upright. Jasher is not a man's name. It's an anglicized version of Yashar, which means upright. So we're at chapter 71 today, verse 1. Let's launch. And when Moshe was 18 years old, he desired to see his father and mother, and he went to them to Goshen. And when Moshe had come near Goshen, he came to the place where the children of Israel were engaged in work, and he observed their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian, or Mitzrayim, smiting one of his Hebrew brethren. Verse 2, and when the man who was beaten saw Moshe, he ran to him for help, for the man Moshe was greatly respected in the house of Pharaoh, and he said to him, my lord, attend to me. This Mitzrayim came to my house in the night, bound me, and came to my wife in my presence, and now he seeks to take my life away. Oh boy. In other words, he raped the man's wife. And this is what Moshe did. Verse 3. And when Moshe heard this wicked thing, his anger was kindled against the Egyptian, and he turned this way and the other. One he saw there was no man there, he smote the Egyptian and hit him in the sand and delivered the Hebrew from the hand of him that smote him. And you can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. That was the penalty for rape. Needs to be the penalty again, okay? None of this, oh, can't we all get along? And it just was wine from all the libtards. Somebody rapes a woman, that's it. Verse 4. And the Hebrew went to his house, and Moshe returned to his home, and went forth and came back to the king's house. Verse 5. And when the man had returned home, he thought of repudiating his wife, for it was not right in the house of Jacob for any man to come to his wife after she had been defiled. Verse 6. And the woman went and told her brothers, and the woman's brothers sought to slay him, and he fled to his house and escaped. Verse 7. And on the second day, Moshe went forth to his brethren and saw, and behold, two men were quarreling. And he said to the wicked one, why do you smite your neighbor? What are you doing? Why are you hitting your neighbor? Verse 8. And he answered him and said to him, who has set you for a prince and judge over us. Do you think to slay me as you did slay the Mitzrayim? Oh, it became known. Didn't keep quiet. And Moshe was afraid, and he said, surely the thing is known? And you can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 14 on that. Verse 9. And Pharaoh heard of this affair, and he ordered Moshe to be slain. So Yah sent his angel, that would be a messenger, okay, in Hebrew, not angel. Angel is a church term, okay, churchianity. It's messenger. And he appeared unto Pharaoh in the likeness of a captain of the guard. And the messenger of Yahweh took the sword from the hand of the captain of the guard and took his head off with it. For the likeness of the captain of the guard was turned into the likeness of Moshe. Verse 11. And the messenger of Yahweh took hold of the right hand of Moshe and brought him forth from Mitzrayim and placed him from without the borders of Mitzrayim 40 days' journey. Verse 12. And Aharon his brother alone remained in the land of Mitzrayim, and he prophesied to the children of Israel, saying, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of your ancestors, throw away each man the abominations of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Mitzrayim. In other words, get rid of your pagan idols. Verse 14. And the children of Israel rebelled and would not listen to Aharon at that time, and were caught up in that, in the worship of all those gods of Egypt. Bad deal. Verse 15. Pardon me. And Yahweh thought to destroy them, were it not that Yahweh remembered the covenant which he had made with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He had made rulings, he made a covenant, and he was bound by his own law because Yahweh is perfect. Verse 16. In those days the hands of Pharaoh continued to be severe against the children of Israel, and he crushed and oppressed them until the time when Yah sent forth his word and took notice of them. And that ends chapter 71. Now let's move on to chapter 72 of the book of Yashar. Verse 1. And it was in those days that there was a great war between the children of Cush and the children of the east and Aram. And they rebelled against the king of Cush in those in whose hands they were. Pardon me. This is an old book and some of the type is a little worse for wear. I really need to get a new copy of this. Verse 2. So Kikianus, king of Cush, went forth with all the children of Cush, a people numerous as the sand, and he went to fight against Aram and the children of the east to bring them under subjection. Verse 3. And when Kikianus went out, he left Balaam the magician with his two sons to guard the city and the lowest sort of people in the land. Verse 4. So Kikianus went forth to Aram and the children of the east, and he fought against them and smote them, and they all fell down wounded before Kikianus and his people. Verse 5. And he took many of them captives and brought them under subjection as at first, and he encamped upon their land to take tribute from them as usual. Verse 6. And Balaam, the son of Beor, when the king of Cush had left him to guard the city and the poor of the city, he rose up and advised with the people of the land to rebel against King Kikianus, not to let him enter the city when he should come home. Oh, man. This Balaam was bad news. Just a traitor. Just everything wrong with this guy. Okay? He was just... Verse 7. And the people of the land hearkened to him, and they swore to him and made him king over them, and his two sons were captains of the army. Verse 8. So they rose up and raised the walls of the city at the two corners, and they built an exceeding strong building. Okay, they made the walls higher. Okay. Verse 9. And at the third corner, they dug ditches without number between the city and the river, which surrounded the whole land of Cush, and they made the waters of the river burst forth there. In other words, they made a moat. Verse 10. And at the fourth corner, they collected numerous serpents by their incantations and enchantments, and they fortified the city and dwelt therein, and no one went out or in before them. Verse 11. And Kikianus fought against Aram and the children of the east, and he subdued them as before. And they gave him their usual tribute, and he went and returned to his land. Here we go. Verse 12. And when Kikianus, the king of Cush, approached his city, and all the captains of the forces with him, they lifted up their eyes and saw that the walls of the city were built up and greatly elevated, so the men were astonished at this. Verse 13. And they said one to the other, "It is because they saw that we were delayed in battle and were greatly afraid of us. Therefore they have done this thing and raised the city walls and fortified them so that the kings of Canaan might not come in battle against them." That was their opinion as they were approaching the city. Verse 14. So the king and the troops approached the city door, and they looked up, and behold, all the gates of the city were closed. And they called out to the sentinels, saying, "Open unto us, that we may enter the city." Oh, boy. Verse 15. But the sentinels refused to open to them by the order of Balaam the magician, their king. They suffered them not to enter their city. Couldn't even go into his own city when he got home. Oh, man. Verse 16. I skipped one. So they raised a battle with them opposite the city gate, and 130 men of the army of Kikianus fell on that day. Verse 17. And on the next day they continued to fight, and they fought at the side of the river. They endeavored to pass, but were not able. So some of them sank in the pits and died. It was a quagmire out there where all the channels they did with the river was like quicksand. Verse 18. So the king ordered to cut down trees to make rafts upon which they might pass to them, and they did so. Verse 19, and when they came to the places of the ditches, the waters revolved by mills, and 200 men upon 10 rafts were drowned. In other words, they had the ditches designed so they would go in a circle, and the water would mill around, and it was like a whirlpool. Bad deal. Verse 20. And on the third day, they came to fight at the side where the serpents were, but they could not approach there, for the serpents slew of them 170 men. And they ceased fighting against Cush. And they besieged Cush for 9 years. No person came out or in. Verse 21. At that time that the war and the siege were against Cush, Moshe fled from Mitzrayim from Pharaoh, who sought to kill him for having slain the Mitzrayim. Verse 22. And Moshe was 18 years old, okay, still a young man, when he fled from Mitzrayim from the presence of Pharaoh, and he fled and escaped to the camp of Kikianus, which at that time was besieging Cush. And Moshe was, verse 23, and Moshe was 9 years in the camp of Kikianus, king of Cush, all the time that they were besieging Cush. And Moshe went out and came in with them. Verse 24. And the king and princes and all the fighting men loved Moshe, for he was great and worthy. His stature was like a noble lion. His face was like the sun, and his strength was like that of a lion, and he was counselor to the king. Verse 25, and at the end of 9 years, Kikianus was seized with a mortal disease, and his illness prevailed over him, and he died on the seventh day. Verse 26. So his servants embalmed him and carried him and buried him opposite the city gate to the north of the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 27. And they built over him an elegant, strong, and high building, and they placed great stones below. Verse verse 28. And the king's scribes engraved upon those stones all the might of their king Kikianus and all his battles which he had fought. Behold, they are written there at this day. Verse 29. Now after the death of Kikianus, king of Cush, it grieved his men and troops greatly on account of the war. So they said one to another, give us counsel what we are to do at this time, as we have resided in the wilderness 9 years away from our homes. Verse 31. If we say we will fight against the city, many of us will fall wounded or killed. And if we remain here in the siege, we shall also die. Verse 32, for now all the kings of Aram and the children of the east will hear that our king is dead, and they will attack us suddenly in a hostile manner, and they will fight against us and leave no remnant of us. Verse 33, now therefore let us go and make a king over us, and let us remain in the siege until the city is delivered up to us. So they decided to make a new king. Verse 34. And they wished to choose on that day a man for king from the army of Kikianus, and they found no object of their choice like Moshe to reign over them. In other words, they didn't find anybody as worthy as Moshe. Verse 35. And they hastened and stripped off each man his garments and cast them upon the ground. And they made a great heap and placed Moshe thereon. Verse 36. And they rose up and blew with trumpets and called out before him and said, may the king live, may the king live. Verse 37. And all the people and nobles swore unto him to give him for a wife Adoniah, the queen, the Cushite, wife of Kikianus, and they made Moshe king over them on that day. Well, this was Hebrew Cush. These were related to Israel. They were not Ethiopians. That's the error in the King James. Everybody says it was Ethiopia. It was not Ethiopia. It was Hebrew Cush. And the people there were Hamites. Verse 38. And all the people of Cush issued a proclamation on that day saying, every man must give something to Moshe of what is in his possession. A present. Okay. Verse 39. And they spread out a sheet upon the heap, and every man cast into it something of what he had, one a gold earring and the other a coin. Verse 40. Also of onyx stones, bdellium, pearls, and marble did the children of Cush cast unto Moshe upon the heap. Also silver and gold in great abundance. Verse 41. And Moshe took all the silver and gold and all the vessels and the bdellium, which is like an is amber, a amber spice, and onyx stones, which all the children of Cush had given to him. And he placed them among his treasures. Verse 42, and Moshe reigned over the children of Cush on that day in the place of Kikianus, king of Cush. All right, well, they wanted him to be with that queen. And the children of Ham were not of pure blood Israel. And Moshe would never consummate the marriage. Okay, so she was queen in name only. She got upset. Because he wouldn't consummate. Okay. Now we're in chapter 73. In the 55th year of Parao, king of Mitzrayim, that is in the 157th year of the Israelites going down into Mitzrayim, reigned Moshe in Cush. Verse 2. Moshe was 27 years old when he began to reign over Cush, and 40 years did he reign. Verse 3. And Yahweh granted Moshe favor and grace in the eyes of all the children of Cush. And the children of Cush loved him exceedingly, so Moshe was favored by Yahweh and by men. Verse 4. And in the seventh day of his reign, all the children of Cush assembled and came before Moshe and bowed down to him to the ground. Verse 5, and all the children spoke together in the presence of the king, saying, give us counsel that we may see what is to be done to this city. Verse 6, for it is now 9 years that we have been besieging round about the city and have not seen our children and our wives. In other words, they're getting tired of this endless, pointless war. Verse 7. So the king answered them, saying, if you will hearken to my voice in all that I shall command you, then will Yahweh give the city into our hands, and we shall subdue it. Verse 8, for if we fight with them as in the former battle which we had with them before the death of Kikianus, many of us will fall down wounded as before. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, here is counsel for you in this matter. If you will hearken to my voice, then will the city be delivered into our hands. Verse 10. So all the forces answered the king, saying, all that our Lord shall command, that we will do. In other words, we will go along with whatever you say. Verse 11. And Moshe said unto them, pass through and proclaim a voice in the whole camp unto all the people, saying, thus says the king, Go into the forest and bring with you of the young ones of the stork, each man a young one in his hand. And any, verse 13, and any person transgressing the word of the king who shall not bring his young one, he shall die, and the king will take all belonging to him. Verse 14. And when you shall bring them, they shall be in your keeping. You shall rear them until they grow up. And you shall teach them to dart upon, as is the way of the young ones of the hawk. Oh. A stork with a big long beak. Okay. Verse 15. So all the children of Cush heard the words of Moshe, and they rose up and caused a proclamation to be issued throughout the camp, saying, unto you, all the children of Cush, the king's order is that you go all together to the forest and catch there the young storks, each man his young one in his hand, and you shall bring them home. And any person, verse 17, violating the order of the king shall die, and the king will take all that belongs to him. Okay, verse 18. And all the people did so, and they went out to the wood, and they climbed the fir trees and caught each man a young one in his hand, all the young of the storks. And they brought them and reared them by order of the king, and they taught them to dart upon, similar to the young hawks. Verse 19. And after the young storks were reared, the king ordered them to be hungered for 3 days. In other words, don't feed them. Verse 20, and on the third day the king said unto them, strengthen yourselves and become valiant men, and put on each man his armor and gird on his sword upon him, and ride each man his horse, and take each his young stork in his hand. Now this is the method in this madness. What do storks eat? A lot. They eat snakes. Verse 21, and we will rise up and fight against the city at the place where the serpents are. And all the people did as the king had ordered. Verse 22. And they took each man his young one in his hand, and they went away. And when they came to the place of the serpents, the king said to them, send forth each man his young stork upon the serpents. Verse 23, and they sent forth each man his young stork at the king's order, and the young storks ran upon the serpents, and they devoured them all, and destroyed them out of that place. Verse 24, and when the king and people had seen that all the serpents were destroyed in that place, all the people set up a great shout. Verse 25. And they approached and fought against the city and took it and subdued it, and they entered the city. Verse 26. And there died on that day 1,100 men of the people of the city. all that inhabited the city, but of the people besieging, not one died. Verse 27, so all the children of Cush went each to his home, to his wife and children, and to all belonging to him. Verse 28, and Balaam the magician, when he saw that the city was taken, he opened the gate, and he and his two sons and eight brothers fled and returned to Mitzrayim, to Parao, king of Mitzrayim. Listen to this. Very carefully. Verse 29. They are the sorcerers and magicians who are mentioned in the book of the law. That's the Torah. Standing against Moshe when Yahweh brought the plagues upon Mitzrayim. Those are the magicians that opposed Moshe when he came before Pharaoh. Boy, opens up a whole new ball game, doesn't it? When you get that information. These are the ones that were going to stand against Moses. Now it all seems to fall into place. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 30. So Moshe took the city by his wisdom, and the children of Cush placed him on the throne instead of Kikianus, king of Cush. Verse 31. And they placed a royal crown upon his head, and they gave him for a wife Adoniah the Cushite queen, wife of Kikianus. Now here's the problem. Verse 32. And Moshe feared Yahweh, Elohim of his fathers, so that he came not to her, nor did he turn his eyes to her, because the Cushites had mingled and they had some Canaanite blood in there. For Moshe remembered how Abraham had made his servant Eleazar swear, saying, you shall not take a woman from the daughters of Canaan for my son Yitzhak. Verse 34. Also what Yitzhak, when Yaakov had fled from his brother, when he commanded him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, nor make alliance with any of the children of Ham. Verse 35, for Yahweh our Elohim gave Ham the son of Noach and his children and all his seed as slaves to the children of Shem and to their children of Japheth and unto their seed after them for slaves forever. These were Hamite people from the children of Ham. So Moshe obeyed the covenant that was made. Verse 36, therefore Moshe turned not his heart nor his eyes to the wife of Kikianus all the days that he reigned over Cush. She was not fit for an Israelite wife. Verse 37. And Moshe feared Yahweh his Elohim all his life, and Moshe walked before Yahweh in truth with all his heart and soul. He turned not from the right way all the days of his life. He declined not from the way either to the right or the left in which Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov had walked. He didn't consummate the marriage, didn't fool around with the Hamite woman. She was unfit. And he obeyed Yahweh rather than what the people of the land wanted. She was his wife in name only. Verse 38. And Moshe strengthened himself in the kingdom of the children of Cush, and he guided the children of Cush with his usual wisdom, and Moshe prospered in his kingdom. Verse 39. And at that time, Aram and the children of the east heard that Kikianus, king of Cush, had died. So Aram and the children of the east rebelled against Cush in those days. Verse 40. And Moshe gathered all the children of Cush, a people very mighty, about 30,000 men. And he went forth to fight with Aram and the children of the east. Verse 41. And they went at first to the children of the east, and when the children of the east heard their report, they went to meet them and engaged in battle with them. Verse 42. And the war was severe against the children of the east, so Yahweh gave all the children of the east into the hand of Moshe, and about 300 men fell down slain. Verse 43. And all the children of the east turned back and retreated. So Moshe and the children of Cush followed them and subdued them and put a tax upon them as was their custom. Verse 44. So Moshe and all the people with him, okay, passed from there to the land of Aram. Verse 45. And the people of Aram also went to meet them, and they fought against them, and Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Moshe. And many of the men of Aram fell down wounded. So they just defeated the children of the east, and now they've defeated the Arami. Verse 46. And Aram also was subdued by Moshe, and also gave their usual tax. Verse 47. And Moshe brought Aram and the children of the east under subjection to the children of Cush, and Moshe and all the people who were with him turned to the land of Cush. In other words, they were going home. Verse 48. And Moshe strengthened himself in the kingdom of the children of Cush, and Yahweh was with him, and all the children of Cush were afraid of him because of his battle prowess and the power that he had. And that ends chapter 73. Well, I'm gonna do starting in chapter 74 on the next show, and it's gonna take back up with the king of Edom dying, and Edom's gonna have some problems. So we're going to do probably 74, 75, and 76 on Friday, because 76 is a long chapter, and 74 and 75 are small. But you need to know the background that Moshe never consummated that marriage with the queen of Cush. So you hear a lot of people saying, oh, Moshe married an Ethiopian. No, they were not Ethiopians. They were Cushites. Different country. They were not black. They were of the children of Ham, who was of Abraham. And Ham committed a sin and was cast out, and the children of Ham were not fit, really, for an Israelite to take as wife. So Moshe was doing what he was supposed to be doing and was obedient to Yahweh. He did not marry a negress, okay? Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. They have mistranslated Cush into Ethiopia in your Bibles. So cross out Ethiopia and put in Cush. Okay? A son of Ham. Son of Abraham. All the way down the line. So, this Ham was the son of Noach when they came out of the ark. And when he committed his trespass against his father Noach, they were given as slaves to the children of Shem and the children of Japheth. So they were an inferior bloodline, and Moshe was not going to breed with that. So he didn't consummate the marriage. He never went into that woman, period. It was a sexless marriage. So you're going to hear all sorts of things from the Judeo-Christians, and they're going to try to justify a bunch of stuff out of ignorance. They don't study their scriptures. They just go with the flow, with whatever the black robe preacher tells them in front. Well, we've got about 8 minutes. I'm going to play a little bit of music and then get out of here. It's been a pleasure. I'm getting everything recorded in advance so I can feel free to go to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and have a great time, which I really could use. So I'm gonna play a little bit of Daryl Barr here, and then we ought to be getting down close to the end. This is called The Ride. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night 'cause I ought to. And the praise to Him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family, and the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw of grief. And the more I watched His children, in their eyes I saw His light. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings. Thank You for the ride. Well, I want to walk with You, take my hand, amen. Hold I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on, hold on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues, and I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come what may. We're gonna talk about them soon, show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me in the cold hard ground, I'll travel through the sky. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings, thank you for the ride. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Get on up, hold on, I'll walk.
Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle,
you're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.